Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
There's a door to the mystical.
And you just walked through it.
Somebody brought him back from the grave. And I want to know how they did it.
Death is not the end.
I'll take your soul.
You think you can take these people's secrets and just walk away?
In the shadows of the imagination lies the ultimate nightmare.
Don't let them bury me. I'm not dead.
That's an excerpt from a popular occult movie called The Serpent and the Rainbow. The occult, is it just fantasy? Is it just Hollywood make-believe and special effects? It does occupy an awful lot of at least the horror genre of Hollywood's repertoire. But is it real? Is the occult, in whatever form it presents itself, even if it is fraught with charlatanism and all the other things that it has been throughout history, is there a reality behind it, especially one that Christians ought to be wary of? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Christian Teeves will be our guest. We're going to talk a little bit about the occult for the first half hour on this Tuesday afternoon. A little bit later, Pastor Stanis Stanley will be our guest. There is sex selective abortion in India, and it's done largely because families, at least, especially families below the line of middle class in India, do not want to take on the financial obligations of what it means to raise and educate and eventually marry off a daughter. So they want to have boys. So girls are disproportionately aborted in India. We'll talk with Pastor Stanley about that. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse starts off hour two of Issues Etc. for us. We'll get her reaction to some recent comments made by Bill O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly of Fox News about same-sex marriage. They're both for it. They don't see the big problem. They don't see the big deal. And they say no real arguments, no real good compelling arguments have been made against same-sex marriage. And then we're going to answer the question, is Easter, which we have recently celebrated and in the season in which we currently find ourselves as a church, is Easter a pagan holiday? Now, here's where you can actually find the word Easter in pagan usage. But does that mean that Easter either is a pagan holiday or has pagan origins? Pastor Joseph Abrahamson will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Pastor Christian Teeves is a regular guest. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled The Occult, Hollywood or Holy War. Christian, welcome back.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Is it fantasy? Is it just Hollywood make-believe, the occult?
Well, the problem is, Todd, many of us do believe it is all fantasy and all Hollywood, but Scripture is super abundantly clear that the occult is very real. We have so many accounts of the occult, which literally means the hidden supernatural activities of the evil one and his demons. So many accounts in the Old Testament. We have it in Exodus 7. We have it in Leviticus 19-20, Deuteronomy 18. We have it all over the New Testament. And so the short answer, it is very real, but most of us don't quite get it.
Well, let's get some basics out of the way then, if we could, Pastor Teeves. First of all, maybe one basic misunderstanding, and it often is brought forward in Hollywood's renditions of these things, especially when it comes to angelic forces, is that the universe is really populated by these spiritual beings that we mostly can't see but act upon us, that mankind is kind of caught in the middle between two equal and opposing forces, God and the devil. Are these equal and opposing forces?
I like the way you put that. Scripture tells us, Peter tells us, that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. But a good friend of mine, an African pastor, put it this way. He said, if Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, then Jesus Christ is like an atom bomb. Satan in no way is a match for Jesus Christ and his armies of angels, but there is an ongoing war. The good news, of course, is that war has already been decided. You just mentioned that in your intro. It was the war was won on Good Friday and then again on Easter Sunday, but nonetheless, the battle goes on, and I imagine towards the end of our conversation, we'll kind of lift the curtain and see what tools the Lord would have us use as we are unwilling participants in this battle.
Are we talking here primarily on the side of Satan? Are we talking here about angelic forces, angels? Do we need to know something about angels themselves before we talk about the devil and all his?
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. We find angels throughout all of Scripture, and they have several job descriptions. Very often they are messengers, as you know, with Gabriel and other messengers in Scripture, but sometimes they are also warriors, and we have a number of accounts where we have angelic forces battling the demonic forces. But as you know, sometime at the very beginning stages of creation, there was a rebellion where the most beautiful of all angels, Lucifer, whose name in Latin literally means the bringer of light, sought to rebel against the Lord God, and Satan and his and about one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven. And so ever since that point, they have continued to rebel against God. And since we are certainly baptized Christians, if you will, pose major targets for this evil angel, Satan, and his demonic angels, since before our baptism, and we see this every time we have a baptism in church, it has it right there in the baptismal rite, that we are literally pulled out of Satan's kingdom and placed into Christ's kingdom. And to put it very flatly, Satan wants us back, and he will stop at nothing to try and get us back into his realm.
Okay. Is there any indication, I mean, you said Satan wants us back, but is there any indication how it is, I mean, where does the fall into sin come into this? I guess what I'm asking, is there any indication that man isn't just a pawn in this warfare? He is, he has chosen a side, hasn't he? Mankind in general.
Yes, most certainly. And this is in Genesis 3, in the fall from grace, where Eve and then later Adam chose to listen to the serpent. Because I would say one of the first sins was the sin of doubt that Satan placed into their minds, where he said, is this really? Did God really say? And rather than run away from this evil voice, this evil serpent, Eve chose to listen to him. And so that first sin of doubt led then to the sin of disobedience that she shared and bit into that first fruit, that forbidden fruit, then shared it with her husband. And so that first sin of disobedience was, of course, passed down to all descendants of Adam and Eve, namely all human beings, and that is what we call original sin.
So it sounds as though, at least as the battle begins, it's I don't know if I want to put it this starkly, but it's kind of like God against everybody. God doesn't really have an ally in this warfare. Even all of mankind is allied with the devil in this war.
Well, it is true that at first glance the situation would be very bleak, but yet right there at the beginning of Genesis we have what we call the Proto-Evangelion, the first mention of the coming Messiah, when God speaks to the serpent and God says to him, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring," and here's where it comes, "he shall bruise your head." The he, of course, is the Messiah, Jesus, "and you shall bruise his heel." So this is the very first mention of the gospel. In other words, even though that those sins were very, very fresh and had just happened, God, knowing from the beginning of time, of course, that this would happen, already has that plan in place to redeem mankind through the sacrifice of himself, namely as his own son.
Does that necessarily mean that all fallen men apart from Christ, that would be all unbelievers, are somehow involved in the occult? I mean, would you say, is it accurate to say Muslims who deny the true God are in fact in service of, unwittingly and unknowingly, in service of the devil or other non-Christian religions?
Well, it's a tough question. I like the way you say unwittingly. As we said, most people don't even believe in the occult, especially those who are not familiar with Scripture, but they would be serving in his dark kingdom, and essentially would be used as his tools, whether they know it or realize it or not, as sad as that is.
When we come back, we're going to pick up right there where we're leaving off with Pastor Christian Teeves. We're talking about the occult. So in one sense, at least, we can talk about all of fallen mankind, apart from Christ, being in league with the devil, being his unwitting, although very willing, servants. But there is a narrower definition here, the occult of those who see the forces of evil, who know the forces of evil to be what they are, and dabble in them, play with them, attempt to manipulate them. We'll talk about all of that after this.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support.
the Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the occult with Pastor Christian Teeves. Our call-in number, if you got a question or a comment, 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 9th of April. 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address at issuesetc. Any question or comment you might have on the occult for Pastor Christian Teeves. So we've talked about how, at least in a general sense, all of the non-Christian world is unwittingly but willingly serving Satan. Let's talk about that narrower definition that we call the occult. What exactly is that?
Well, we have it several times in the Pentateuch. We have it in Leviticus 19, where Moses writes, "You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. You shall not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out." And we have similar passages in Deuteronomy 18, where he says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes, interprets omens, or a sorcerer, inquires of the dead," and so on. And the remarkable thing is this hasn't gone away, Todd. This is still quite popular today. People doing these things either in because they think it's a lark, or maybe they really want to get in touch with the occult. There are many, many websites out there, and this is the reason I wrote that article for Higher Things magazine, because I'm concerned that some of our young people are just stumbling into this, and it is wreaking a lot of havoc, and needless to say, is driving a wedge between them and God.
Now, there's an aspect to this, and you mentioned it a moment ago, people who do this because it's a lark, they do it for fun. They don't intend, and perhaps not considering the consequences of their actions, and maybe it is because they don't believe it's real. It's just a parlor game. Let's have a seance. Let's go see the guy who says he can talk to grandma for us. There's popular television program, several of them on cable television, where people claim to be able to routinely speak with dead relatives, the recently passed over, as they say. Is that what you're talking about when you say the real danger is people don't believe it?
Yeah, and what you're referring to is a device called the Ouija board, which was literally a parlor game in the 1930s. It's still around. Shockingly, you can. These games are available for children in toy stores, because many people think it's either nothing, but it's real. If you scratch the surface, if you really go down to it, and this is quite fascinating, it basically boils down this attitude in Western civilization to think that this is all a joke basically goes back to the teachings of rationalism. So we're going back to the 18th century, the heretical teachings that anything in Scripture must be removed that has the supernatural in it. You recall Thomas Jefferson's famous Bible, where he literally took a penknife and cut out everything supernatural out of his New Testament. And if you do that, if you cut the supernatural out of Scripture, well, you've got nothing left. So this mindset is still around, and it is being perpetuated in our society. This is what many of us learned in school, that the supernatural and so on is it's either a myth or it kind of went away. And so when young people, or any people for that matter, dabble with these things, they think, well, it's what's the difference between that and Monopoly? It's some kind of board game. But the truth is, as we just read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, this is a gateway to the occult. And the interesting thing is, when you talk with exorcists, namely those pastors and priests who drive out, cast out demons. They will tell you that the number one on-ramp for people who get sucked into this is the Ouija board.
So it begins perhaps as a fanciful, an idle curiosity about these kinds of things, but can lead to a more serious fascination with the demonic.
Absolutely, it can. And if you have an eye for this, look around. Look at we're coming into the warmer season. Look at some T-shirts. Look at some tattoos. Look at some bumper stickers. You'll see this stuff all over the place. One of my favorite examples is you've seen this coexist bumper sticker, and the I of coexist, the letter I, the dot on the I, is a pentagram. The pentagram is a satanic symbol. So people are just willy-nilly just imbibing in all of this, and they don't realize where they're going with it. It is very harmful.
So a lot of the injunctions in Scripture have to do with attempts to contact the dead. Can we say on the basis of Scripture that those may indeed be, those phone lines might be working, so to speak, but the people answering at the other end are not Grandma and Grandpa?
Yes, exactly. We have the very famous story where between Saul trying to conjure up Samuel, deceive Samuel, and he goes to that famous witch of Endor, and the official teaching is, yes, true, someone was raised, but it wasn't Samuel. The thing is that demons apparently are able to mimic the deceased. And if you think about it, if you really think it through theologically, when someone dies, they're not hanging around here. They are waiting for the judgment. They are waiting to be separated as sheep and goats, but they're not going to be in graveyards or in haunted houses. What you will find there, is our understanding, are demons, not everywhere, but sometimes, who can, in fact, mimic grandma. And so if someone does, in fact, use such a device to bring back a relative, and sometimes there is a response, this is not who you think it is. It is, we would think, a demon.
So where does what you talk about in the article, spiritual warfare, where does it enter? I have noticed that Christians can develop an undue fascination with the demonic directly through a fascination with spiritual warfare. They spend more time talking about and talking, directing their attention toward the demonic than they do toward the divine.
Yes. Well, this is not a good situation. In a nutshell, Scripture tells us to stay away from all this stuff. The most classic passage dealing with spiritual warfare is Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about this ongoing battle, and he says here, let me just turn to that, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then he gives us a whole host of tools, the so-called armor of God, with which we can arm ourselves to protect ourselves from this engagement with the demonic.
And what then is the nature of the warfare? Is it we going out on the offensive, trying to track down the enemy, sending out reconnaissance parties and whatnot? What is the nature of the warfare that Paul describes there?
Well, the essence of the warfare is that Christ has already won this battle, and that we, as his baptized children, have these tools, most of which are defensive tools, at our disposal. He speaks, of course, of the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and he admonishes us to pray at all time. But let me quote what Luther says in the volume 15 of the American edition, where he's talking about and interpreting 1 Corinthians 15. He has an excellent excellent summary on all of this.
We got about 1 minute here, Pastor.
Okay.
Keats.
Okay. Satan is intent on tearing Christ from our heart and on frightening and oppressing us with sin and death so that we might despair and surrender to him completely. Therefore, we must again rebuff him and point him to the victory which is ours in Christ. In that way, we must embrace Christ and hold to him so that the devil cannot approach us. For Satan knows very well that he is unable to accomplish anything if we but cling steadily and firmly to this by faith. In other words, the battle has been won. Christ is the victor, and because we are baptized into his family, we baptized Christians are victors as well, but only because Christ won the battle for us.
Pastor Christian Teves is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled The Occult, Hollywood or Holy War. Christian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Good to be here. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor Stanish Stanley about sex selection in India. The latest Issues Etc. journal is out, and you can subscribe for absolutely no money. It's free. Right at our website, issuesetc.org. The big red button is there. Click on that and enter your email address, and you're subscribed. The latest edition of the journal has an article that I've written about your confession of faith called I Believe, and a Wittenberg Trail feature for Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard called Why and Why Not. Subscribe for free. issuesetc.org. Look for the big red button. We'll be right back. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues, etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give, as opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion is left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues, etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues, etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues, etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
The Association of Evangelical Lutheran Congregations invites you to our third annual free conference and business meeting, April 16 through 18 at Trinity Lutheran Church, Austin, Texas. Conference theme is Christ for Us, the Divine Service. Speakers include Reverend Rick Sawyer, Reverend Dr. Richard Stuckwish, Reverend Brian Wolfbuehler, and others. Details are available at www.acelc.net.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.